So I'm sitting there eating, like, right outside the stadium, and my brother's like, hey, where are you at? And I, like, for some reason, sent him a selfie. I'm, like, sitting there. A couple minutes later, I just hear, hey, buddy. And I look up. It's my brother, our friend John, and our friend Jason, who lives in Miami, had flown out to surprise us from the last game. You know, and so, like, just, I think that was sort of the moment of, holy crap, I've actually done this. You know, like, I hadn't made it into the stadium yet, but I was like, this is a reality. Like, they come out to celebrate. So that's probably my favorite memory from the trip.
What's up, Bucketheads? Thanks for tuning in and happy Thanksgiving. Welcome to episode number 74 of the Baseball Bucket List podcast. I'm your host, Anna DiTomaso, and each week on the show, I speak with a different baseball fan about their favorite memories, what's left on their baseball bucket list, and what the game of baseball means to them. This week, I sat down with Derek Jones from the Cincinnati area. Derek was raised near Atlanta and is a lifelong Braves fan, but we spent the majority of our time together talking about an amazing trip he made with his friend Kevin in 2021. Over the course of 30 days, the duo hit 29 different ballparks, saw 30 games, and saw all 30 teams play as the home team, all with only two flights over the course of the entire month. We chat a lot about the planning process of this epic baseball adventure, some of the challenges that Derek and Kevin faced, underwhelming parks, and some pleasant surprises along the way. This interview was so much fun, you'll probably feel inspired to create your own adventure after hearing Derek talk about his. So without further ado, sit back, relax, and enjoy some baseball banter with Derek Jones. Derek, thank you so much for joining us today on the Baseball Bucket List. How are things in Cincinnati?
They're good. They're finally starting to cool off, which is not welcome for me. I despise the winter for so many reasons.
I'm ready for winter. I do like fall, but I'm ready for some colder weather. So we'll be a little opposite there. But I know one thing we all do agree on is our love for baseball. So I got to hear, how is it that you fell in love with the game?
It's baseball has just always been there. I don't remember going to my first game. I don't remember, you know, like getting my first glove or learning anything. It's been there since basically since before my memory. You know, like I would go outside, swing a bat, throw a ball in the evenings. You know, we would start dinner and about honestly halfway through, like my dad would turn on the Braves game since from Atlanta. And I mean, I grew up watching the 1990s Braves and their, you know, colossal run every year. I mean, I was in college before they missed the playoffs, and like I didn't know what to do with myself. baseball has just always been there. Like, it's as second nature to me as breathing, you know. Just I don't necessarily have an origin story.
Yeah, that's great though. So it's just always been a part of your life, which is wonderful. So you mentioned the Braves there. You said you grew up around the Atlanta area. Are they still your favorite major league team? Do you have a favorite team?
Oh yes, I'm a diehard Braves fan. They're the only team I've ever rooted for. You know, I mean, I live in Cincinnati now, and I like the Reds. They're fine, and like I want them to win, unless they're playing the Braves, and then you know, I hope to get shut out every time. So I mean, I can't not watch a Braves game. If I have the opportunity to go to a game, I go. I root hard. I show up. You know, dressed head to toe in Braves gear. They've, you know, like a, sort of the origin story, they've been there from the start, and I can't not, you know, check the score, you know, who's in the lineup, who's hurt, in anything related to them. And then sort of my love of baseball grew from that outward.
Yeah, I think that's what's so wonderful about being alive now, is that, you know, you can follow that team that you fell in love with when you were a kid, even though you're not in the local city anymore. So I know that, you know, things like MLB.TV and box scores and stuff like that go a long way. I'm kind of in the same boat. My favorite team is obviously halfway across the country here, but, you know, I try to get to Rangers games. I want them to do well, unless they're playing the Rays. And then in that case, yeah, I hope they lose every single time.
Right. Yeah. You know, and so, I mean, so like the World Series, you know, like it's like, I'm sort of in that camp of, I don't think the Astros got what was due to them after 2017, so can't really root for them. But they're playing the Phillies, so I really can't root for them. You know, so it was very much I'll watch the games, but I'm not. I wanted it to go to seven games just because that meant more baseball. I literally had no rooting interest.
I think that's how a lot of people felt. Usually there's like a feel-good story or a Cinderella team of sorts that people can really get behind. But this year, it just kind of seemed lacking. I think the Phils were obviously like closer to that than the Astros because they just dominated the whole season, 106 wins. But
yeah,
I was with you. I wanted seven games just because that meant the offseason was one day shorter. We didn't get our way, but that's fine.
No. And then time change happened on the first day of the offseason. So it's like, yeah, for us in Cincinnati, it's like, oh, it's 5:30 and it's pitch black outside. This is terrible.
Yeah, here's winter. All of a sudden, like, just smack you in the face with it. No baseball and, you know, going to bed at 4 o'clock at night. So,
yeah exactly.
So the reason you and I touched base was I saw an incredible story, something that, you know, a lot of people have this idea that they want to do 30 ballparks. And most people, the goal is to do it in a lifetime. I thought that I was being kind of a renegade and I tried to do all 30 by the time I turned 30. And even that was, you know, me squeaking it in under the wire to make it happen. But if I'm understanding this correctly, you saw 30 ballparks in 30 days.
Yes, that was the plan. So, yeah, I mean, when you're younger, you have crazy ideas on what you want to do in life. And one of mine was, you know, I want to see all 30 ballparks, like a lot of, you know, obsessed baseball fans do. But I never seem to be able to do just that. I have to make it, I have to take it to the ridiculous. And so I was like, well, you know, a baseball game every day for a month. Okay, 30 ballparks, 30 days. You know, and so I came up with the idea in high school. I didn't really set a time to get it done, but, you know, it was just sort of one of those ideas of hopefully one day I'll get it, because, I mean, you've got to have the 30 days to do it. And sort of as you get older, you realize 30 days is a long time to do whatever you want to do. You know, like most people, it's like 1 or 2 weeks of vacation for the year.
Right.
It's like, well, I would need double that, you know, and then the money aspect of it. Sort of over the years, I've seen other people attempt it, you know, and like they're flying and doing this and that. Well, I love road trips. When my wife and I got married, our honeymoon was a 3-week road trip across the country. We did like 8,000 or 9,000 miles. And so I was like, okay, well, you know, like, what if you drove the whole thing?
Oh my goodness.
You know?
Yeah.
You know? And so it just kept evolving, and sort of as I got older, it's like, I don't know, this probably isn't gonna happen anytime soon, because, you know, sort of the stars have to align. You know, always kept it in the back of my head. I'd mention it every so often, but it wasn't front and center. Honestly, I got lucky, because when COVID hit, my wife and I, we met in grad school, and we started having weekly Zoom calls with our graduate school friends, just something to do.
Yes. Yeah, I remember those days, right?
You know, and so like we would, like every week someone would make a Jeopardy board and we'd play Jeopardy, and, you know, just a sense of normalcy. And one of our friends had just moved to LA when COVID hit. He'd been there maybe a couple months and he was just bored out of his mind, and he's a big baseball fan. And so we just got to talking one night. It's like, oh, you know, like, I would love to do this someday. And he goes, I would do that with you. You know, and so all of a sudden I'm like, you know, I straighten up, looking around. You know, it's like, okay, I have someone crazy enough to do it with me. Then it's, well, I'm a school teacher, so I have my summers, there's my time. And so then the money, my wife and I, you know, started to kind of get on better financial terms as we've gotten older. So it's like, oh, I have the money, like, this could be the opportunity to actually do this, you know? So talking to him, he was like, yeah, you know, like if you can figure it out, like, I will do it, you know, sort of leaving the planning to me.
Yeah.
In my mind, I'm like going 100 miles a minute, but then I have to slow down because we have a daughter at home and my wife's pregnant. And so I was like, no, you know, I'm talking to my wife and she's, I'm like, no, there's no way I can do this. You know, like I can't leave, you know, the two of you and you being pregnant, like that's stupid. God bless my wife, Sue. She's a saint. She looked at me one day and she's like, you either do this now or when the kids are grown, done with college and out of the house. I was like, okay.
Yeah.
So I started planning it. Just using spreadsheets and information off the internet, you know, like how far is it from, you know, like Camden Yards to Progressive Field, you know, just, you know, figuring out what ballparks are actually within a day's drive. Where are the dead ends? You know, obviously Seattle's up by itself.
Right.
Miami and Tampa are kind of down by themselves. Where like the difficult spots to maneuver, you know, like where the schedule really has to line up. I'm trying to figure this out. And I'm just waiting for the 2021 schedule to come out. Well, COVID's still going, you know, and we had had 2020 where nobody was allowed in, you know, and I'm just like, man, come on. Then MLB announces, oh, limited capacity. I was like, okay, we can get in, but at what price?
Yeah.
You know, because everybody was so ready for normalcy. You know, it's like, I'm on a shoestring budget here, you know, and the Blue Jays are playing down in Dunedin, Florida. And it's like, okay.
And then the strike, right? Like, you know, delayed.
Yeah.
Season.
You know, like just on and on and on.
Yeah.
And so it's like, there's so many things that could go wrong. And this isn't including, you know, the car breaks down, you know, a rain out, we get a car crash, someone gets sick. Like there's so many uncontrollables and we haven't moved a foot on this trip. And so Kevin and I are talking and it's like, okay, what are we driving? Yeah, because he's got a car, I got a car. And so schedule comes out, I go through, and I end up creating 86 different successful possible routes to take.
There are that many?
Like, that's what I came up with.
Yeah. Wow. Okay.
You know, so it was just day after day, like, oh, what if we started in, you know, Detroit? Okay. Yeah. What's, you know, on and on and on. And we very quickly realized you have to hit Tampa and Miami together because you can't go out back because the only thing remotely close is Atlanta. Another complication is my oldest daughter, her birthday is in the middle of June. And so from the time I get out for summer break, there are not 30 days until her birthday. I can't miss her birthday.
Right.
From her birthday to the All-Star break, there are not 30 days. From the All-Star break until I go back to school, there are 31 days of baseball. Well, the very first day was Red Sox-Yankees. It was just that one game because of money. We're like, look, we can't do Red Sox Yankees. You know, we're not trying to avoid the big rival games that are just kind of blow our budget. So we had 30 days. Like there was no wiggle room. And so looking through the schedule, the very quickly became clear that the West Coast, so like California, Seattle, Arizona, Colorado, was going to have to be at the end because it never worked out. And so we would not have to do like all the central and eastern together, be, you know, for like 2 or 3 weeks, be exhausted, and then basically do half the driving in the last 10 days.
So this entire trip, you did not get on an airplane?
So that was the original plan.
Okay.
What we tried to do was limit the number of crazy long days.
Yeah, right.
You know, and so 8 hours was a normal no-brain day of driving. What we were trying to eliminate was, so one of the stretches was we had a night game in Miami, and then the next day we had a night game in Houston. about 1,100 miles.
Yeah, that's a long one.
It was very long. We were supposed to go from Anaheim to Seattle to San Francisco. Anaheim to Seattle is about 1,100, 1,200 miles. Because of the way that the schedule worked out, Kevin flew to my house to start this. He looked at me, he's like, look, we've got to take a flight. And I think we can take it to Seattle just because of safety. And so my wife travels for work. Kevin travels for work. We used airline points. Fine. And so what we ended up doing was driving Anaheim to San Francisco, leaving a rental car in San Francisco, flying up to Seattle, going to the game, spending the night, flying back. But originally we were not going to fly. Like, that was the plan.
Yeah. So that's only two flights then. One from San Fran up to Seattle and then back.
Yep. That was it.
Wow. That's incredible. I mean,
yeah,
that's wild. All in the span of 30 days. You're obviously like a master planner of some kind. You've got some sort of like spreadsheet magic or something going on to figure all of that out. But 30 days, it's a short time period. You're kind of cramming all of these in there. Do you think that, you know, would you recommend to folks that that's an experience worth having? Do you think maybe more time at each park? Like, what's your take on how you did it? Obviously a once in a lifetime opportunity. Obviously something that you and probably like four other people have ever done. So kind of walk through what the toll was on your mind, on your body, all that stuff.
I don't know. I'm of the mindset that baseball is sort of a select your own adventure.
Yeah. I love that.
Like it's not for me, but you know, like some people want to show up in the third inning, drink a beer and be gone right after the seventh inning stretch. That's not me.
Right.
I'm glad I did it the way I did it. But it also left me wanting to go back to various cities, like just to see the city, to actually sit and see the ballpark. Like Minnesota springs to mind, Seattle, Miami. Like those are all three beautiful parks that I get to see, I get to walk around in. But I would like to go to like two or three games, you know, like sit in different spots.
Yeah.
You know, like get a feel for the city. In some ways, as crazy as it sounds, doing it in 30 days has only created a need to go back and do parts of it again. Because it's like, oh, that was cool, but what else did I miss? You know, it's like, so you don't get the time to get the feel of the area.
Yeah, I can relate to that because, you know, we strung together. My big ballpark trip was 2 weeks and it was 9 parks, and that was a lot for me. And I noticed some of the parks that I got a chance to go back to later and had an opportunity to sit in other seats, or like if it was a domed stadium to have it closed and then opened another time, it's like a totally different experience. So
right.
I think that I'll always feel that way, and you'll probably always feel that way even after, you know, regardless of how many times you go, there's still so much to see at each park, and then let alone the cities themselves. So was there a park that, you know, you had heard a lot about either one way or another? Maybe you were overwhelmed by it or you were underwhelmed by it. Maybe you had high expectations, low expectations, and they were just kind of, you know, the opposite of what you thought you were walking into.
When we were planning this, sort of the two things that we wanted to do from the initial planning was I wanted to spend the night before we started in my own bed. It's one less day away from my pregnant wife, my daughter. And we wanted to not do any of like the more central ballparks first. So like St. Louis, Kansas City. And so obviously, the first game was in St. Louis because the best laid plans, you know, and like you hear all the time, like, oh, you know, St. Louis has got the best fans. They're the most knowledgeable, like it's a great ballpark. It was probably the most disappointing game and experience of the entire trip. They're playing the Giants. There's just no energy to the ballpark. You know, like, I mean, we looked up at the end of the game and there were like 20 hits.
Yeah.
But like you thought it was like a 3-0, like ho hum, like nobody cares, you know, game at the end of the season between two teams that are 30 games out of first place. You know, but like looking at it, it was a good game, but it was like no one cared. And when that's sort of the main selling point of going to St. Louis, you know, the ballpark itself was nice, but St. Louis is one of those places. It's like, okay, I need to go back.
Yeah.
Maybe it was just like one bad experience. So yeah, St. Louis to me stands out as probably the most disappointing, which is a great way to start off the journey.
Right.
So that was the most surprising disappointment. So we're in Oakland, which I know Oakland's reputation. I love the Coliseum. It's old school, like no frills. Like you go to the game, that's entertainment. Like there's not like all this other stuff. We're sitting in the upper deck, day game, ground ball to Matt Chapman at third, fires over to Matt Olson into the top of the first. Olson tosses it back to Chapman, and Chapman like turns and like points from his glove and just fires it. Bernie's sitting there eating, Kevin's on his own. I'm just like, that's going to make the upper deck. And we are literally the only people up there. I'm talking like, we've got like probably 10 sections on either side of us, totally empty. And so I just see the ball coming and I sprint. And so I didn't catch it. Like it hit and stuff, but like there's dirt mark there and like definitely concrete.
Right.
So this is actually the first ball I've ever gotten from an actual game.
That's awesome.
And so, you know, it was towards the end of the trip. And like, I remember like I ran over, I grabbed it. I jumped up and down like an absolute idiot. You know, like I was 5 years old. You know, I was so excited. Like I've come home, like after I came home, I like pulled up MLB TV. I watched both the A's feed and the Rangers feed. It's like, did they like show me being a complete moron? And of course they didn't. I was just like, I gotta know.
That's incredible. I love that.
Yeah.
I love yes. that. What a great story. We had a great time at the Coliseum too. I know that it's probably on its way out, and you know, even the Oakland A's may not be long for this world, but we had a great time there too. And so I'm so glad to hear that you got a ball there. That's cool.
Yes.
That's really cool.
But Minnesota, without a doubt, was the most surprising, like on the positive side. You know, you kind of get a feel for ballparks on TV, and it's nice looking, but in person, it's beautiful. It's right downtown. Like they have like a game area out in right field up above the wall. Walking around, you can see the field. There's a lot of small details that are really cool. You know, and like we got to see Ohtani hit just this laser of a home run while we were there, which was awesome. You know, like Trout was hurt, and so like we didn't get to see him play, but like Ohtani like just annihilating this ball. You know, Kevin and I were just going nuts. Like we were so exhausted because we had driven something like 2,000 miles in 48 hours or something, because we'd gone Miami to Houston to Kansas City to Minnesota. So it's like 1,100 miles to Houston. It's a 12-hour drive to Kansas City. And it's only a 6-hour drive to Minnesota, but it was for a 1 o'clock day game. And so we had barely slept. Our hotel in Houston, the air conditioning broke. Like in the whole hotel. Like we walked in and the lady at front desk is like dripping sweat.
Oh my goodness. So a couple of setbacks maybe, you know, in the midst of the trip, but it sounds like you got all the games in. Was it rain delays, postponements, anything like that?
The only rain delay we had was actually the second game, which was actually here in Cincinnati. And that was actually the only game that went to extra innings.
Okay.
And so that, as far as that, that was the only hurdle. Like we had some long games. We had two games go 4 hours for 9 innings. So the two biggest hurdles, and so it's sort of the reverse order that they happened. So when we're going out west, We had left New York, we'd gone to Detroit, and we're like just working our way west. We're literally sitting watching the Tigers play. And I see Kevin pull out his phone and he lets loose this like flurry of expletives. And I'm just like, dude, what is wrong? He goes, there's a landslide. I was like, okay. You know, I'm thinking like somewhere near his house or something out in California. He goes, I was like, okay, where? He goes, on I-70 west of Denver. Okay. You know, because we were going Colorado to LA right. for the Dodgers. They closed it down and said it's going to be a couple weeks until it reopens. So we're in Detroit. We're going Detroit, Milwaukee, White Sox, and then Denver. Like, we're going to be there in 3 days. Whale crap. Because we had planned to crash with a friend of mine in Colorado for a couple hours and go on. But it was like, well, that's out the window. So we're driving through the night. And so we ended up leaving Chicago, going to the game in the Rockies game, and then going to the Dodgers game in 36 hours.
Wow.
Like, we had to drive, take this like really back roads detour through the Colorado Rockies during a new moon. Like, the road doesn't have any like paint on it, no nothing. And by this point, our friend Bernie had joined us. Our rule the whole time had been, okay, if it's dark, the driver and one other person has to be awake. Just don't want to end up in a ditch.
Yeah, I would hope the driver was awake.
Yeah, right. And so we're leaving Denver, and I was like, hey, I'll drive. You know, I'm the most familiar with the Rockies. And so Kevin and Bernie, like, basically draw straws, and Bernie's like, okay, I'll stay awake. We're, like, on the sort of streets, and Bernie's passed out. Like, he's totally out. And like, I'm looking at Kevin in the rear view, and I was like, dude, we're on the interstate. It's like 10:30 at night. Totally fine. I will wake you up when we get off in like half an hour. I get off. I'm listening to some music. Totally forget to wake him up. Start going on this like windy Rocky Mountain road. And I turn off the music because I'm concentrating. And Kevin wakes up in the back seat. And just screams bloody murder, slow the bleep down. And I look down and I'm doing 12 miles an hour. But it, like, literally all you can see is my headlights go out into blackness. I know on the left is some drop of, I assume, a couple thousand feet. And on my rock right is just a rock cliff.
Right.
And I'm just like edging around this. You know, and he's like, well, I'm awake now. And so, like, we crawl through the Rocky Mountains. So that was obviously a very big unplanned event. But the other was, so the Blue Jays started the season in Dunedin.
Right.
And then moved to Buffalo, you know, because it wasn't sure if they would ever go back to Toronto in 2020. We sort of worked out the schedule to where we could adjust a handful of games to accommodate either way. And so, okay, they moved to Buffalo. Awesome. We're going to go to their game in Buffalo on July 30th. Super easy. Day one, go to Cardinals game, leave, stay the night, driving back to Cincinnati for game two, somewhere in the middle of the cornfields of southern Illinois. My phone pings. I look down. The Blue Jays are heading back to Toronto on July 30th.
Of course.
And so, like, I knew the answer, but I looked, and sure enough, like, tourists were not allowed into Canada until mid-August. So it's like, well, I guess we're not going to Toronto. I had been to Toronto previously, so like that stadium for me was already marked off. And so fast forward, I don't exactly remember when we're going to see the Angels. They're playing the Blue Jays. Like, we'd seen Blue Jays in Boston, and we'd see them again at Anaheim. Cool, we've seen all 30 teams. Back in April, the Angels had gone to Dunedin to play a series. The game got rained out. The makeup game was thought to be in Anaheim. A couple days later, I'm looking at the schedule. It's like, that makeup day game is the day we're going to see the Angels. So we went and saw a doubleheader. The first game, Toronto was the home team. Second game, the Angels are the home team. close enough.
Yeah.
you know, like the baseball gods smiled on us, you know, like we didn't have to change anything.
That's cool. My dad saw a game like that where the Baltimore Orioles were the home team at Tropicana Field because of some stuff going on in the city at the time. So it's funny how that happened. So then was it 29 ballparks total then, right? Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. So 29 ballparks, 30 games, 30 days.
And 30 home teams.
Mm-hmm.
So the Blue Jays, the home team at Anaheim Stadium, which is kind of bizarre in a
It's bizarre. So so Kevin, myself, and Bernie, we do a baseball trip every year.
Oh, cool.
So like, we've gone to Pittsburgh and a couple others. And so this year we're like, well, we're going to Toronto.
Yeah.
And so we went back in August just sort of complete the set.
That's awesome. Do you feel comfortable, and it's okay if you want to say no to this, but to give us kind of a ballpark of like what the trip cost the two of you, you know, if you split it down the middle, obviously there's some staying with friends and stuff like that.
I think we paid for three, maybe four hotels the whole time.
Wow. That's crazy.
So, you know, hotel points helped. Yeah. We camped two or three times. And then I'm from Atlanta, live in Cincinnati. Kevin's from New York, lived in LA. And then we just mix match like, hey, we're going to be near this city. Who do you know? You know, and so like from friends and relatives, you know, just we got really lucky. So the rental car, which was crazy expensive for what it was, gas, tickets, the whole nine. I think we were right about $9,000 total combined.
Wow. That's not bad at all.
No, it's really not. I mean, you know, $4,500 for me for a month, that's a lot, you know, like, but it could be so much worse. You know, like we were buying just the absolute cheapest tickets we could.
Yeah.
The only time we splurged was he had never been to Wrigley. And so I was like, all right, dude, we will buy bleacher seats. And so that was the only time that we spent more than we had to on tickets.
Yeah. That's pretty thrifty. I mean, that's just 30 days of travel, even like take away the ball games and anything. That's nicely done, I would say.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it also helps when you're driving all day.
Right. Because
we did like 16,000 miles, even with those flights. So, wow. Like, there wasn't a whole lot of downtime to like go spend money.
Yeah, that makes sense. Derek, is anything coming to mind if I were to ask you what your favorite baseball memory is? Something from this trip, something from childhood, anything?
So I sort of have three of them.
Okay.
They're very unique. So it's sort of the best surprise, the best, and the worst. So the best surprise was our last stand was in at the Rangers. We drove in all night. I dropped myself off at the stadium. Kevin and Bernie go to the hotel to crash. I was like, look, I'm scared. If I go to the hotel, I will fall asleep and I will not make this game. And so I drop myself off. They go to the hotel. I'm walking around. And my brother had met Rangers reliever Brett Martin like right after he got drafted through his job. And so, you know, okay, hey, I've met a ball player. You know, like I'll follow him. He's made it. My brother's set up to where I could get into the stadium early. Maybe go down to the bullpen, maybe at the warning track, something like that. And so, like, my brother's texting me back and forth on and on and on, like, hey, you know, like, what gate are you in? Yada, yada, yada. Well, that game was also the Texas Rangers Hall of Fame induction for Adrian Beltre.
Wow.
Come to find out, there was no way I was getting in early. Like, it had been set up, but the induction had been changed because the A's were in town and Beltre wanted Elvis Andrews there. Elvis Andrews wasn't there because his wife was giving birth. So, like, but so I'm sitting there eating like right outside the stadium and my brother's like, hey, where are you at? And I like, for some reason, sent him a selfie. I'm like sitting there. A couple minutes later, I just hear, hey, buddy. And I look up, it's my brother, our friend John, and our friend Jason, who lives in Miami, had flown out to surprise us from the last game. You know, and so like just, I think that was sort of the moment of, holy crap, I've actually done this. you know, like I hadn't made it into the stadium yet, but I was like, this is a reality. Like they come out to celebrate. So that's probably my favorite memory from the trip.
How cool.
Probably my favorite baseball memory was myself, my brother, and my brother Jesse, and our friend John went to the last game at Old Yankee Stadium. You know, like we got there at like 9 a.m. and we're too late. Like the line was too long for to go see all the monuments. Like we just walked around for 12 hours before the baseball game ever started. Like there's a bunch of guys there like with like hammers, like breaking up concrete. So I like picked up a piece from Old Yankee Stadium.
That's awesome.
That is sort of started a tradition where we go to the last game at the stadiums. Like we did it with the Rangers old ballpark, you know, and like, we'll probably have to go out to Oakland because it seems like they're destined to move at this point. That one is always going to be special because like, that's the most I've ever spent on a ticket. Like we sat with the Bleacher Creatures, watched a guy get hauled off by the police because he was trying to start the wave. And like the locals are like shouting him down and the cops basically came and grabbed him. And was like, you got to go for your own safety. And so that's probably my favorite. And this sounds weird, but the worst baseball memory is I'm in grad school, middle of the night, I'm asleep. And early in the day, my brother had called me like, hey, I'm in San Francisco for work, or I'm in Oakland for work. Do I go to the A's game tonight or tomorrow night? And, you know, do the Giants the opposite? And so we looked and the Giants had like a giveaway t-shirt. And so I was like, go to that game. Lo and behold, that's Matt Cain's perfect game. And so I get this middle of the night phone call. My brother's screaming. I'm asleep. And so like, yeah, I've been all the ballparks, but like he got to go to a perfect game.
Wow.
You know, like it's the only time he's ever been to San Francisco. That's the only time. And he said, he's like, I will never go to that ballpark ever again.
Never beat that.
Right. You know, so it's like, I mean, yeah, I could like luck into like seeing a perfect game, but then at best, I'm even.
Yeah, right. It's funny you have that piece of concrete from Old Yankee Stadium because at the Trop, they used to have this, it was like a walkway that was like mosaic tiles. It had some like beach scenes on it and stuff. And they broke that up and now it's just paved concrete. But I got like two squares from the mosaic that are on my desk here. So
that's awesome.
Yeah, it's kind of fun just to have those little pieces of the places that mean the most. So
yeah,
that's cool. All right, so 30 ballparks. That's usually like the number one thing on someone's baseball bucket list. Is there something that you still want to check off? I mean, what else is there to do?
I want to see a game in all 50 states. I'm about halfway through that.
Yeah,
you know, so it's going to take some maneuvering on, you know, like some states like Wyoming. Maybe I'll get out there for like a college game or something. Not necessarily professional, but like a game in a proper stadium. I know you guys are doing the Midnight Sun game. That's on there.
Yeah.
You know, like there's not a bad place to watch a baseball game. You know, like I want to go to Japan. I want to go to Korea. I want to go see the Australian Baseball League, Mexico, like all through Latin America. There's not a bad place to watch a baseball game. So I umpire baseball. And so like I'm slowly working through like the local professional fields here. I've got one left. It's actually the Red Stadium. Like I've done the minor league stadium up in Dayton. The Florence Yalls isn't too far away. I've worked games there.
That's awesome.
So like, I'm trying to like get like on the field and getting paid for it at some point. And I'm hoping as I move into some college umpiring that those opportunities come a little more easier.
Right. Yeah. That would be so cool. That would be, you know, again, something that not a lot of folks have a chance to do. So I love that one. Well, Derek, this has been a ton of fun. I've really enjoyed talking with you, hearing about this crazy adventure that you went on. If people want to follow along, I know you've got a blog where you kind of detail the trip you've been on and some other things. What about social channels? You know, where should people find you?
It's all the same for Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. It's all at The Winning Run. I don't necessarily do a lot of current stuff because, you know, that's so hard to keep up with. But you know, like I like sharing my journey, my thoughts. So yeah, you know, and anybody's ever wanting advice on how to do this, what's the best way to do it, what's the worst way to do it, please feel free to reach out. I feel like I have this like trove of knowledge that is very specific.
Yeah, but totally necessary. So I appreciate you being so willing to help folks out, because I'm sure someone out there is teetering on this idea, and maybe this will put them over the edge. But Derek, thank you so much. I can't thank you enough for the time, and really enjoyed it.
Thank you. This was great.
And that will wrap up this episode of the Baseball Bucket List podcast. Special thanks to Derek Jones for joining us today and sharing those stories. If this sounds like something you'd like to do, if you think you might like to be a guest on the show, head to baseballbucketlist.com/podcast and fill out an application there. I'd absolutely love to hear from you. And if Derek's story sounded like something you might like to do, then you might be what we call a buckethead. Bucketheads are not only listeners of this weekly show, but there's an entire online community filled with crazy baseball fans. So be sure to check us out at baseballbucketlist.com. That's it for this week. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next episode.